Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Well, if you're following along over the last week, you know that on Sunday of last week, we weren't able to meet together as a church family across any of our campuses because of the weather, and that had a bunch of ripple effects, one of them being that the Drivecast was going to have to change a little bit. And so this became more of an open opportunity for us to share as pastors from the heart some things that we have been reflecting on in our own lives. So I have a question for you. What are you disappointed by? Before you answer the question, consider this. I'm assuming that you have been disappointed. It's a universal experience. We all know that feeling of anticipation, of looking forward to something, only to be let down when it doesn't pan out the way that we thought it would. We can be disappointed by anything. Careers, job stuff, relationships, even personal goals that we set. But have you ever stopped to think about the nature of disappointment? What does it mean to be disappointed? Not what does it feel like to be disappointed, but what does it mean? The word itself is a very interesting story. It used to carry this meaning of something that was a little bit closer to the removal of or removal from power, or to be dethroned, right? We still hear echoes of this phrase and this original meaning when people talk about being appointed to a position, right? That's in the news a lot today. Someone's appointed to a new cabinet position. So to be removed from that position, to be removed from that position of authority, power, is to be disappointed, right? It's the opposite of that. It's the removal from that, or to be dethroned. And this connection to power and position is key. You see, when we're disappointed, our initial reaction is often to think about what we need to do with that feeling to stop being disappointed. I mean, do you just shrug it off? Do you move on? Is it really as easy as just kind of looking on the bright side and getting used to this? I mean, too often we do that. We have this just vague sense that our disappointment will hopefully fade over time. The problem is that disappointment is cumulative. I mean, even seeing small disappointments accumulate over time, and while their weight might not be immediately apparent, it eventually takes its toll. What lets us down gradually wears us down, especially if we haven't actively processed this stuff. I'd heard a quote one time that was shared with me when I was in my own season of frustration and deep disappointment about some things that were going on in my own life and at work. And the person said this: burnout is rarely the result of one catastrophic event, but is generally the accumulation of 1,000 unnamed disappointments. Right? And ignoring disappointment means eventually confronting its very real consequences. So what do we do with disappointment? Right? I want to suggest one practical remedy. What do we do with our disappointment? Because it can be so gripping and take control of our lives and just dominates the way that we feel. It kind of takes control of our mood, of our whole person. Well, I think there has something to do first with naming our disappointment, right? This is not something we do very much. But I want you to take a moment to answer this question honestly. What have you been disappointed by in the last 2 years? Seriously, write it down. And at this point, don't worry about justifying why those things have disappointed you. But the crucial point is that they did disappoint you, right? And this is a thorough process. This is going to take some time to write these things down, naming them what's been disappointed. And what you will find in this is something that points to a deeper challenge. Here it is. As you name your disappointments, they begin to reveal what you've prioritized or placed a significant importance on in your life. right? In other words, what do your disappointments reveal you have first highly valued in your life? Remember that to be disappointed is, in a sense, to be dethroned, right? And the things that we have been disappointed by are often things that we have first enthroned in our lives to positions that they were never meant to hold. In the Christian tradition, we often call these idols. Good things in our lives that we make ultimate things and expect these things to be our source of happiness, of joy, of peace, and comfort. And it's our disappointments that often reveal that we have first taken something else, even a good thing from God, like a relationship or a way we think a specific relationship should play out. And we have placed that in our lives to such a position that once it's removed, it begins to feel catastrophic in our lives, that we have no more room to grow. This is the basic process of discerning the idols in our own hearts and minds, and all of us have them. Friends, our disappointments can so often be a very real revelatory aspect of what we have unknowingly and unrightly enthroned and idolized in our lives. So what are those things for you? I'd invite you to take a moment to pause and begin a conversation with God. First, about the things that you have been disappointed by. Not holding anything back, laying all of these things out before Him. And be reminded that as we carry these things and begin to lay them down and name them and call them out, we are recognizing sometimes the painful recognition that we have first placed something in our lives above a deeper, more satisfying relationship with Jesus that is offered to us in the Christian life. Friends, this is our opportunity to name what is disappointed, to drop these things before the Lord, and to return to Him, who is the source of our joy and strength. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.